This is a scripture from John 13, verses 1 to 8. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Carl, thank you. Give that to Sergio. Thank you so much. Bless the Lord. In verse 1 of John 13, we get to the part of the story of the ways of Jesus that is one of the most dramatic presentations of who Jesus is. Came to be as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our servant, the servant of humanity. John 13, 1 says this, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and to return to the Father." We talked about this a little bit last week because there was a similar beginning to John 12. That Jesus knew right where he was in his timeline. He knew that his death was approaching. He knew that he was headed to the cross and his time was now. John 12 was at the beginning of the week of celebration of Passover, and now we've arrived in this moment. And it says this, it says, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth. And now he loved them to the very end. If you knew you had only a few hours to live, if you knew that you only had a few hours to live, what would you want to tell those who you were closest to? What would you want to communicate? What would you want to do to let them know, hey, listen, I'm going to be gone, but you need to remember me this way. You need to remember these words. You need to remember. They didn't have video. He didn't make this little video to tell, but you know what he did has echoed through history in a greater way than a selfie or a little video. I mean, this, what he has done has revolutionized our thinking of who Jesus is, what are his ways, and how are we to follow in them. And it's based in his love for us. The end of Jesus' ministry on earth was indeed here at this moment. In fact, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all captured in this moment, the very night of his betrayal. And so in verse 3, it goes on and says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. See, it's very important to understand Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew that he had all authority given to him by his Father. In fact, it was just later that night when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus that Jesus, you know, some of his disciples were like wanting to rise up in arms, and, you know, one of them takes out a sword and, you know, goes to slice off the head of one of the soldiers and misses and kind of slices off his ear. Jesus heals him. But he turns to his disciples and says, "Don't you realize, guys, what's happening here? That if I wanted to, I could just call and there would be a legion of angels that would come in this very moment and do battle against my enemies, those who are coming against me. So don't you realize that's the kind of authority and power that I walk in? There was no confusion on the part of Jesus of who he was, his strength, his power over death and hell and humanity. But he laid down that authority. He did not use that authority against people. He used that authority to serve people. And he came in humility as a servant. This is the way of Jesus. And Jesus talked a lot about servanthood because it is so much in conflict with our ways. We naturally do not enjoy coming in humility and serving other people. We would much rather be served. So Jesus talked a lot about this. In fact, there's one other passage. Let me just point to for a moment before we get back to the story in John 13, where in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, says this. It says, but Jesus called them together, his followers, his disciples, called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those who are under them. And it's, listen, just note right there, the rulers of this world. We're talking in this series about the ways of Jesus and how they are in conflict with the ways of the world. And so Jesus really clearly articulates that by saying, hey, you guys all know how the world works and the rulers in this world. Man, they want to lord it over their people. They want to flaunt their authority. But among you, it will be different. I love that phrase. I love that idea. Because, I don't know, was Jesus commanding them to be different? Or was he just making an observation? That if you're following me, if you're walking in my ways, you won't be like those other people. Because you can kind of read it in both ways. Like as a commandment. You must be different than those other people. The people walking in the ways of the world who would want to rule over with their authority rather than serve. But I think it's more of just this observation that if you're walking in my ways, if you're walking in the ways of Jesus, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. You are going to look different from the world. Then he goes on and says, because whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Heavy language. It's in conflict with the ways of the world, the ways that we would think in the natural. Then he says, for even the Son of Man, the Son of Man, this term that he would speak of himself, knowing fully who he was as the Son of the living God, God in the flesh on earth, he said, even me, the one who, if anybody could demand authority, if anybody could walk in authority and say, hey, you guys are really here because it's about me, serve me, he says, even me, the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. So church, among you, it will be different. Among us, it will be different. I must be different when it comes to my expectations about am I here to serve or to be served. So let's go back to this dinner and the activities of Jesus in John 13. In verse 3 through 5, we already read the beginning of this. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority He knew who he was. He knew the power that he walked in. He knew the he knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. He knew something, so he did something. Just look at those kind of underscored words there. He knew who he was, and in that knowledge, it caused action to come out of that. He knew the authority that he had. I could do anything on earth that I wanted to do. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to serve. I am going to come alongside others and serve them in a very dramatic way. Washing feet. If you were here last week, we looked at the previous chapter, John chapter 12, and in that chapter is where we looked at Mary, Jesus' friend, washing Jesus' feet. Going to the cupboard, taking out her very most expensive essential oil, right? Come on, I know a bunch of you are into essential oils. And she took her very best, her most expensive essential oil, and came to not just put a little bit on his head, but to pour it out on his feet, to wash his feet, and took her hair and used it as a towel. The fragrance filling that home. And we talked about the fact that what Mary did was such an amazing act of worship, because what she did, washing of feet, was something that the very lowliest of servant would do. Wasn't the top servant. It was the bottom servant. Nobody wanted to wash someone else's feet. In fact, the head servant in the house says feet washing time, he would turn to the next person in line that was just below him as a servant and say, hey, you're up, foot washing time. And then that servant would go, not me. I'm looking for the new guy. I'm looking for the bottom rung servant, the servant at the bottom of the ladder. Now it's your turn. And by the way, that one guy's got some like red flaky stuff going on in his feet. You might not want to touch that. Ezekiel. Nobody wants to wash someone else's feet. And yet here Jesus is, the God of the universe, who knew who he was and knew the authority that he had and the power within him. And so what does he do? He chooses to lay aside his power and come in this radical act of humility to serve those around him. Jesus modeled that something of this magnitude, it is in such stark contrast and conflict with the ways of the world. He modeled for his followers, those walking in his ways, that it is actually desirable to be at the bottom rung of the ladder. That is not the way we think. I'm not hearing a lot of amens or hallelujahs or preach it, bros. He modeled that it's actually desirable to be at the bottom rung. In human thinking, we want to start at the top, right? I want to own my own company. I want to make a lot of money. I'm going to have a lot of people under me. We want to start at the top the way we think in the world. Or if we can't start at the top, I want to get there as fast as I can. So if I have to start at the bottom rung of the ladder, it's only because I'm going to use that to leverage my way to get to the top. That's how we think in the natural. That's the way of the world. But Jesus' act of humility, washing the feet of his friends, was not at the start of his ministry. It was at the conclusion of his ministry. It was in the last few hours of what he did in his years on earth, in the years of his ministry. It was in the last hours, one of the last things he did. He didn't start at the bottom. He finished at the bottom. And in the next hours after his betrayal and his false accusation, he would allow himself to go even further, allowing his hands, this God of the universe who could have called a legion of angels and said, strike them down. He didn't do that. He allowed his hands to be stretched out and pierced for me and for you, for the terrorist, for the one who entered a synagogue in Pittsburgh yesterday. I can barely comprehend that God did that for me. But he did it for all. The worst, the one who's most vile, the one with most hatred in their heart. So I don't know where you feel that you fit on that spectrum, but Jesus came to serve, to humble himself for you. He didn't just start at the bottom, he finished at the bottom. The ways of Jesus show us that the bottom rung is not a starting place so that we can use that to jump to the top. It's where we live as his followers. We are the people of the bottom rung. Welcome. We are the people of the bottom rung, those who with joyful humility get to serve the world around us. Those, my friends, are the ways of Jesus. This morning, I brought something here that not every one of you has seen before. If you've ever been in my office, you've seen this. But when Kelly and I were praying about whether we were to come to Santa Maria, I was almost 50 years old. I'd done ministry for literally at that time, over 25 years, all kinds of cool stuff, but I'd never pastored a church before. So this is a big deal, and we're praying about, you know, moving to Santa Maria, and it, man, is this our city, God, you're calling us to? Are these our people, God, that you'd allowed us to come and pastor? And in some ways, you know, man, for those who are in ministry, even if you've done a lot of things, man, pastoring your own church, man, you've arrived, right? Woo! You've arrived. I mean, it's easy to think that way. And in some ways, that's almost like thinking in the ways of the world because it's like, wow, I get to be other people's boss. Sergio, you got to do whatever I tell you. But I mean, you know, we can think that way. Oh, that guy's the pastor. Wow, he's you can tell other people what to do. When we came to Santa Maria, we drove around with the pastor from the Lompoc Four Square Church, Bernie Fetterman, who's lived here for close to 3 decades and just knows everybody and knows everything. And so he took a whole day to just drive us through the streets, showing us things that we would pray and say, God, would you just reveal to us what we need to know? And it was that day when we were in Santa Maria that we went into a store. It was a little decorator store. It's no longer in business. But as we were walking through the store, God drew my attention to this little picture. One, I thought it was pretty. But God caught my attention and let me know that this picture, much like possibly what Jesus would have used in this story of washing the feet of others, reminded me the moss holder, if I affirm that you're to come to Santa Maria, you have arrived. you've arrived to serve the people of Santa Maria. And as I look closer at that picture, I realize there's a little decoration, and it's kind of got my initial on it. There is an M right there on this picture, and it was like God saying, yeah, I made that one for you, buddy. Moss holder, you are being called to serve. So I bought the picture, and now it sits in my office as a reminder to me that while I get to pastor, it is not to walk in authority over people. I know who I am. I know the authority God has given me. But to use that authority, not to lord it over people, but to serve people. It's that little reminder to me. Amen. This passage goes on, and in verse 12, John writes this, and he says, after washing their feet, he, Jesus, put on his robe again, and he sat down. And I love what Jesus would do, because he wouldn't just do something, but then he'd unpack that. He'd talk with his disciples about that to make sure they really got the full weight, the full meaning. He said, do you understand what I was doing? I mean, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. See, because Jesus had no question about who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his authority. He knew his power. He said, you call me teacher, you call me Lord, and you're right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Remember where it said that he knew who he was, so he served? Jesus finishes this with the same concept. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I've done. I want you to put up that next picture there, Hector. I was talking to a friend this past week, Tammy Donahue. She preached here a little less than a year ago. Tammy is the general supervisor for all the Foursquare churches in the United States. That means that she's my boss's boss. Tammy's a phenomenal pastor, teacher, thinker, leader. And I was chatting with her this week, and she told me something that God was showing her, and I asked her permission. I said, can I share that? Because that's what I'm preaching on this week. And she said, absolutely. She said that, you see how we learn how to write, and maybe you remember this little dot-to-dot alphabet? When you're a child, you learn how to do that. She said this. When Jesus said that we are to follow his example, he was using a very particular word. And that means that that word example meant something to be copied. That's literally what that word meant that he chose to use when he said, follow my example, something to be copied. And she said, this idea is describing like learning to write as a child would, using a follow the dots alphabet. We trace over what has been shown to us, so we begin to understand what it feels like to make those letters. Right? I mean, we're literally building muscle memory. We're making a connection in our brain with that's what the letter A looks like. Okay, this is what it feels like to actually trace that along. And then after a while, guess what? Then you don't need the dots anymore, right? But she went on to say this. She said, as we follow the example of Jesus, copying his ways, it's as if the solid parts of the letters are what we actually saw Jesus do, right? Like we saw him wash the feet of his disciples, as it were, as we read that and we can imagine, we see his life and his ministry. We see those things, and those are like the solid parts of the line. But she said, the blank spaces in the letter, the parts we can't see, are his divinity, his godness. The parts that we can't see are the things that we can't as human beings fully comprehend because he is God, right? We can see the things that he did, but man, we can only wonder in the mystery of those little blank spots. But as we trace over what we can see, the whole of who Jesus is becomes visible to us. And we get to make Jesus visible to the world. Isn't that awesome? He has given us the pattern. He has shown us his ways. The ways of God, the ways of Jesus are not in the dark. He came to illuminate his ways, to show us his ways. Amen? And as we would follow his example, we are learning the ways of Jesus. And just like a child learning to ride, it's a little awkward at first. I don't know, can I do this? I don't know if my A will ever be as perfect as that A. I don't know if I can do that. But you know what? When we keep tracing over, following his example over and over again, pretty soon it becomes natural to us to walk in his ways, to follow his example. And when I look at the lives of the people in our church, I am continually amazed by the ways that you serve. The ways that you involve yourselves in just serving others. I wish I had time to just kind of go row by row and talk about your lives. But you are a serving bunch. Man, I am so blown away that we have people in our church who do foster care, who have even adopted kids into their families. Kids that did not have a home, did not have family. And we have people in our church who have fostered children. I think it's one of the most beautiful and serving things that a family could do, including singles and individuals. I am blown away that the Robesons, along with Sonia Badley, serve every single month a meal at Good Samaritan Shelter. Go and prepare food and joyfully serve it. The woman who read our passage this morning, Carla Jameson, serves every week at CareNet using her nursing skills to come along ladies who need an ultrasound to determine where they're at with their pregnancy and have an opportunity to be loved, oftentimes in the midst of very complicated stories in their own lives. Jose Uriarte, who has served in many different capacities in our city, but ongoingly serves the Boys and Girls Club just around the corner from our church. Many of you have know the story of Rhonda Nelson, and many have come alongside of her to serve as God put this great vision of serving people in our community, many who are elderly and shut-ins, just by baking cookies, taking them to them. Oftentimes, it may be the only visitor that somebody may receive during an entire season. And Rhonda gets to knock on their door and share Jesus by a simple act of serving. And then I think of others. Mr. Dubransky, fourth grade teacher at Tunnel Elementary, who gets to serve kids. And it is not just a job. It is not just an occupation. He probably could have made more money doing magic tricks, which he's really good at. But you know what? His teaching is a calling. His teaching is a calling of serving kids day in, day out. We have people in our church who coach sports teams. One of the coolest ways to come alongside the next generation and speak life to them, show them what it means to be a young woman or a young man that can get up again and keep going, right, when things are a little tough. I love that. So many have found creative ways to serve. Not just here in the church, but outside of the church. Touching neighborhoods, touching schools, touching our city, touching the world. I think of people like Hector and Pat, who went along with Joel and Veronica Adeola when they were moving to Playa del Carmen to assist them in those first days of getting established in a new community. Just to serve others. And then yesterday at our church, those are people serving outside of our church. But boy, thinking about what we get to do here as a church family together, and some of you may not have been able to drop by, but yesterday was Dia de la Familia. Kelly and I only got to be here for just a handful of moments to love on people and to thank people for serving before we headed on to the Dodger game and the World Series. But we have a handful of pictures, and I just want to show this. I mean, we had hundreds of people on our campus yesterday in a beautiful demonstration. Go on, just go ahead and show those slides. Of loving on our neighbors, and it was so fun. It was so good. Go onto our Facebook page, and you'll see that we put these pictures up there. There's even a little brief video. And listen, you guys were serving. But I want you to see is the there was a lot of adults serving yesterday, bunches and bunches, probably dozens, I would say, of adults. But the pictures that I just showed were very intentionally of those who are serving from the next generation. And what excites me even more than moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas serving is to watch young people learning to serve as well. Because you know what we're doing as a church family? Getting out our dot-to-dot alphabet. We're saying, hey, guys, I want you to see, if you kind of live this way, you're going to be walking in the ways of Jesus. So parents who brought your kids and youth, young adults, along with you yesterday and had them working by your side, serving by your side, good for you. Because you are showing them, this is how we follow the example of Jesus. And you are building into the next generation that heart that says, I don't need to be on the top rung to experience real life. The ways of Jesus show me that I can serve and that I love being at the bottom rung. There's joy that comes in serving others. There is fulfillment of purpose and of destiny in our lives by serving others. I want to finish just in our last few minutes together with a little pattern, just a little pattern, something to think about on our way out the door. And it's from verse 4, just from verse 4. Go ahead and put verse 4 up there. Jesus did, it says, three things as he was serving his disciples through their feet washing. Verse 4 said this. He got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist. I want to just point out those three things really quickly because I think they give us something that we can kind of sink our teeth in to say, okay, what does this might look like in my life? to follow this dotted line, this example of Jesus' service. Serving requires us to do three things that Jesus modeled right here. Number one, we got to get up. We got to get up to serve. Yesterday morning, those of you that served at Dia de la Familia literally had to get up. Those of you that are serving this morning around our campus, Devin Vauclin, yay! You had to get up this morning to serve. Yeah? Our worship team had to get up to serve. Those serving coffee and donuts and those greeting at the doors and those serving our children had to get up. So literally, sometimes it means just shaking off the slumber. We, in our lives and in the way of the world, we are taught to seek our own comfort over the comfort of others. To serve ourselves rather than to serve others. Can you imagine Jesus on that night, the night that he got up from the table and washed? Could you imagine Jesus saying, you guys, come on now. I mean, I just taught thousands of people. I just raised somebody from the dead. I was touching lepers. I had this huge argument with all these religious leaders. Do you know how hard I worked today? So I'm just going to sit back. It's time for you to serve me. This would have been a very different story. But that's not what Jesus did. He got up. We think our lives are busy. So think about the day in the life of our Savior. This is not about working ourselves into a frenzy, working ourselves to a point of exhaustion or where it would not be healthy for us. Jesus reminds us that his burden is light. This is not a pastor trying to twist people's arms saying you're not doing enough or anything. It's the fact that we've got to shake off the slumber and get after the things of the Lord. Where, God, if I started to get too comfortable in this season where I'm at, God, what is it that you might be calling me to next that I've been saying no to? Because I know it's going to be a little hard. I don't know what it's going to be in your story. I'm trying to figure that out in my own story. But I can tell you this, getting up, it's always going to be in conflict with the ways of the world. It's always going to be in a little bit of conflict with our ways. Number one requirement of a servant is to get up. Second thing, take off. We are required to take things off in order to serve. Mainly this has to do with the attitudes and the mentalities that are the way of the world. That I'm in a race to the top of the ladder. And we've got to strip off those attitudes that would get in the way of us serving genuinely, serving other people. Husbands, serving your wives. I'm the man. Yeah, take that off. That's not a godly thought. That is a thought of the way of the world. One last passage, just got to show you because it's so killer. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Jesus has his disciples around him and says this. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does the master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants. who have simply done our duty. I mean, Jesus does not mix his words. And so if you go on our church website, sm4.org, and under the little About tab, there's a staff page. And that last phrase right there is at the top of that page before we say, hey, here's the staff. It says, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty, who are trying to do our duty. We have to be constantly reminded to peel back the attitudes of the ways of the world, that it's a race to the top. No, it's a race to the bottom, because it's the bottom rung of the ladder is where God has called us to live in his ways. The last thing is this: there's things we need to put on. He took off his garment. He wrapped a towel, the servant's towel, towel of humility, he put it on. Yesterday, when Kelly and I had the opportunity to be on campus for a few minutes, the first person I saw was Steve Salatin. Where's Steve? Steve, you in the room? I know you're here somewhere, bro. Steve here? He's doing security probably, isn't he? He's out somewhere serving right now. First person I saw on campus was Steve. Steve was walking through the parking lot helping with security. And you know how I saw him? He was wearing a little security vest. He'd put something on to indicate that he was serving. Next person I ran into was Mari Lara, who was helping serve to help coordinate yesterday's Dia de la Familia event. And I spotted her right at the entrance to this area where we were serving families and kids, and she had on one of our bright yellow Santa Maria Foursquare volunteer t-shirts. People that came yesterday to serve literally put something on to say, I am here to serve. It's not about me. It's about others. It's about caring for others. Well, not many of us may start wearing different clothing every day. I know some who have. I know one person who did, a pastor who was very similar to me, decided to begin wearing a priest's black clothing with the white collar to indicate to his community daily that I'm here to serve. On my little name tag, we're a church of name tags because we want no one to feel like they're a stranger. Today, I didn't just put my name, I put Servant Tim. I kind of been thinking about the fact that there's a whole nother little faith tradition that's a little different than ours. They wear, you know, you see guys going around on bicycles, they have ties on, and they wear little name tags. I'm not against them. I love them. I think they're pursuing God in a way that they've been taught. But, you know, on those little name tags, you'll notice that it says elder. Elder is more of that top rung type of deal. I think it might be okay for us to make name tags for our church, but instead of elder, it's going to say servant. Listen, we need to take something on ourselves as a reminder. You need to go get your own picture and put it somewhere significant. You need to do something. We'll sell you a bright yellow t-shirt. Because we got to get up, church. We got to take off attitudes that would prohibit us from serving others with grace. And we need to put on new attitudes. Attitudes that say, God, you've placed me here not for myself, but for others. Church, let's be known as the church of the bottom rung.